This is Hidden Mickey Guy, Steve Barrett, and you're listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast. A place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 71 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to answer some listener questions. A couple weeks ago, we did a small segment where we answered a couple questions, and we had such a good time doing it that we want to do a whole show around it. So we've got a number of questions tonight that people are happy enough to email us, and we're going to go through a couple of them. So before we go any further, let me introduce who's with us tonight. First off, we have Jen. How's it going, Jen?
Great. It's good to talk to you guys again. I've been gone a couple weeks and missed you all. Excited to hear from the listeners.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back. We also have Jimmy with us tonight. Jimmy, how's it going?
I am fantastic.
I think you're the only one remaining in subtropical temperatures.
Yeah, it's still not bad here. We'll get a little cool blast tomorrow to be in the 60s.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, whatever.
I know. Hang up on him. Kick him off the call.
And I also want to welcome Sam to the show. Sam, how's it going?
It's going great. Thanks so much. How's it going?
Good, good. Okay, well, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to talk about some listener questions. I'm going to read through some of these emails we got. People were really cool enough to send them to us. But before we do that, though, I want to talk about the meet we have coming up in a couple weeks. Is it only a couple weeks, Jimmy? What's the day count now?
12 days.
Nice.
I think it's 12 or 13 days. Very, very excited. It's going to be lots of fun. So if you guys haven't heard about the meet and you're going to be in Walt Disney World on February 22nd, that's a Sunday, we will be having a meet and greet with all our friends of the show and on the group starting at 8 o'clock at Narcoosie's. The plan is to do kind of a monorail crawl, start at Narcoosie's, hopefully be at the Tambu Lounge at the Polynesian for 9 o'clock wishes, and then kind of go from there. So it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. According to the meet on the, if you go to the event section on our Facebook page, it looks like we're going to have quite a few people there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be prepared with maybe some trivia questions and some prizes, giveaways, things of that nature. So if you're going to be in the area, please come stop by. Even if you can't make the whole monorail trip, just a stop or two would be great.
Awesome. Now, you'll be there. Jen, you'll be there?
Absolutely. If you all are running any of the Princess Weekend races, it will be the perfect way to end the weekend, I think.
Perfect celebration.
Yes.
Excellent. And I also understand Sam's flying in for the occasion.
I am going to be there, which is good. Yes. Very I wish good. I was running the race. I'd run a 5K, but then that's okay. I'll do a 5K with Jimmy around Magic Kingdom.
That's right. I'm down for that.
Sounds like fun.
So real quickly before we get started, I just noticed you guys might have seen on the Disney Parks blog just a few days ago, they are now accepting lunch reservations for the Be Our Guest restaurant. Well, I shouldn't say now. It starts February 25th. It's the standard Disney dining, Disney experience, and calling 407-WDW-DINE. The cool part here is not only are they accepting lunch reservations, but they are enabling a system that will allow you to pre-order your lunch ahead of time to expedite that process again, get you in and out of there pretty quickly. So those of you that were lining up super early to get in to be our guest, there's a formal process, and hopefully this is the first of many other locations to do it. Did you guys see this at all?
I did see it. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I mean, I think long term, I think I feel pretty good about it. But the fact that I will be there on the it goes live the 25th.
That's what it says here on the Parks
right.
blog.
So yeah,
I'll be there. So I'm not very. I don't know how I feel about having to set my reservation for the 26th. Like they ended. I got the email about the the test, the fast pass test, but it ended during my trip. Ugh. So now I'm going to have to try and call on the 25th to get a reservation for later that week.
So it's interesting because we speculated about 6 months ago. There were a lot of questions about what's going on for lunch at Be Our Guest, what's happening. And again, this was Disney had a long-term strategy all along. The FastPass Plus was nothing more than a test. Now it's a formal reservation system, which is good if you can get in. But if you're not there in that window early, I'm sure it's going to sell out and be difficult to get in. So I also have mixed feelings about it.
I agree. That's a kind of a big change to looking at. You know, we've talked in the past about locals and off-property guests who maybe their option was to line up and hope to get in. So there's definitely going to be some mixed feelings. Sam, I noticed another piece of news that's going to have the same kind of, it feels like a big change that might elicit some strong responses, just like that. Have you heard about the new resort check-in process that they're rolling out to different resorts?
No, tell me more about it.
They are, I guess, beginning this week or next. I see the dates are February 10th for a handful of resorts, February 25th for a handful of resorts, and by March 10th, all of the resorts will have, it says, qualified visitors. They will have them bypass the front desk check-in process. If you have Magic Bands mailed to your home, you've checked in online, and you provided a method of communication, you know when you check in online, it asks you for an email address or a text, a phone number to text about your room status. If you've done all those things, you'll get an email or a text when your room is ready. You just go right to your room. Your Magic Band is activated. And a lot of people like this idea, and certainly there's some benefit to it. But of course, then that takes out that interaction with the cast members when you get there. So it feels like another one of those things that is a little change, but I don't know. I think people will probably, it might rub some people the wrong way, and other people will be really excited about it. So,
I mean, people have options, so you don't have to check in online. And so then you would skip that process. If you're more comfortable going to the desk, just don't check in online or don't give them the method of communication. And you can check in online and just not give them the method of communication and go to the desk like you normally would.
Or even if you do all those things, just say you wanted to check and make sure everything was on the up and up and you wanted to say hi to them. I don't think anyone would really mind about that either. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but all right. So here's what I'm thinking and why I love this. Because now, if I have my package through Disney, right, I'm making that assumption, I'm going to show up at the airport, I'm using Magical Express, they're going to tap my Magic Band. As soon as I get to the Magical Express part, I'm going to get on the bus, they're going to take my luggage, I'm going to a park, pick one, I don't care. I get a text message that tells me my room's ready, and when I go straight to my room, my bag's in it.
You're done.
That's wonderful. Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm all over that. I love it.
Especially with young kids, I think it sounds like a great idea.
But I see the flip side of that too, and I think it's just another choice, and I can absolutely be fine with that. So I'll see you at 9 o'clock. My room's ready, or whenever I have to get back, my bag will be in it. I don't mind that at all.
Right.
I'm all about the options. Now, if they said this is the only way to do it, I'd be like, that would maybe bother me.
Right. But yeah. Absolutely.
As an option, I like it.
Well, we're seeing every day now more and more uses for the Magic Bands and the technology. So I'm sure this is going to continue.
Yep, I'm sure.
Cool. Do we have any more news?
I think those were the big things. I know we've seen some mentions that the Trolley Car Cafe at the studios, the new Starbucks location, is officially open to the public. And there have been some pretty cool pictures. The theming looks really neat, so I can't wait to check that out. I'm not really a huge coffee or Starbucks fan, but it looks cool.
So it's the Trolley Stop Cafe. We know that, and I'm going to try to tie this together and connect some dots.
I know where you're going with
this one.
It's
the Trolley Stop Cafe. There's some major reconstruction happening in that hub. The hat's almost gone. Is there an outside shot that we get the red car trolley that DCA has?
I had not thought about that until you started saying that. That would be cool. Especially
because
if they have the Newsies singing on it. That would be awesome.
This is the Trolley Stop. And it just, to me, it's just another one of those. Hollywood Studios went west to DCA, and now what went good there is coming back east. I think so. We'll wait and see what happens.
Yeah, that seems like a possibility.
Oh, definitely. And when you guys are down there, check out to see about the bakery across the street from where the Starbucks place is and make sure it's still there.
I've been assured it's not going anywhere. That better still be true.
Is it okay if I call it the Streetcar Cafe? I mean, I'm from New Orleans. We don't call them trolleys. We call them streetcars.
No, I understand. I get it.
Just curious.
I don't think they care what you call it as long as you spend your money in there.
Right, as long as you stop there and get that $8 coffee. Yeah. I did see on online on Facebook in the group, they've actually got some pretty cool merchandise. Just the Starbucks Disney branded stuff.
The mugs are incredible. Like,
they're very cute.
I love them.
They're very nice.
I have a couple of those mugs that are not Disney, but they're Starbucks branded.
They're so cool.
Yeah, the ones that are Disney and Starbucks are.
So you've seen the details around the Epcot mug, right?
Yes. Do we go there?
And Jimmy, you're aware of that?
they
pulled them off of the shelves. The Epcot mug?
No.
So the Epcot mug, so this is the Starbucks-themed Epcot mug. It has, the Spaceship Earth and a monorail going around it. They pulled them off the shelves, and believe it or not, they're on eBay, or people are asking a couple of $100 for these things. They pulled them because the monorail is purple, and that's the monorail that had the accident.
Oh, no.
Right, so they pulled them.
Come on.
That was my reaction exactly, Ed.
Yeah, that's a little
bit. And two, because you ask $200 doesn't mean you're going to get it.
No, that's true.
Yeah, but pulling them off the shelves.
No,
really?
I meant that was my reaction to pulling it off the shelves. Yeah, I really want to know what the family thinks, because my guess is they didn't think twice about it. So,
right.
It's just outrage.
Apparently, a lot of people didn't think twice about it until it was
mentioned.
You're right.
Somebody brought it up.
The social media outrage.
Right. And that's all it is. It's people who get an opinion and run with it. And oh, well, we're all here on social media and there's some great things about it. So we'll just focus on that. So.
Sure.
But I agree with you, Ed. I might have rolled my eyes and closed that window very quickly.
Yes, closed. So forget about it. All right.
No, it's good news. I mean, it's a good piece of news.
Oh, sure, definitely.
Because of the great response we've gotten since we started this listener questions, we've actually set up a brand new email account specifically for listener questions. Sam, what's the email?
The email is questions@thedisneynerds.com.
Wow, that sounds like an address we might all have one of these days.
I think there might be a Sam, a Jen, an Ed, and a Jimmy set up somewhere.
Oh, cool. You know what we have to do? We're going to have a show down the road where we're going to talk about the Facebook page, the website, a couple things like that.
Just all kind of different ways to access the Disney nerdiness.
Sure, definitely. Yes.
Hey, what do you guys think the new topiary is for Flower and Garden this year?
Ooh. Are we guessing out of thin air, or have you seen
hints? Yeah, what do you think? Come on, it's got to be easy. The new one when you walk in, the big, great one.
What was the last one?
Why is it easy?
Well, last year it was Mickey, Minnie, Pluto in front, but there's always a new Topia, right? Was it the Muppets last year? The Baconlicious Cupcakes?
No, the Muppets were in the back, I thought.
Yeah, but that was like the new topiary, right? So what's the new one?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Something.
I'm going to go Cinderella.
Anna and Elsa, come on.
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
I'm serious.
With the new, I figured they'd be pushing the new Cinderella live action film that's coming out.
You would think so, but... Yeah.
Until
Anna and Elsa.
Now Ed may go to the Flower and Garden Festival.
Well, maybe. I was thinking back the last time I was there, they had Monsters U as the big exhibit.
Yeah. So it's actually, there's a big write-up about it in the latest Chase magazine that comes with your Chase Visa card.
I didn't read an article in there
about the difficulties of creating Elsa's blue Snow Queen gown and then incorporating into that the theme of summer. So it'll be interesting.
Hmm.
I'm sorry. Did you hear the clicks of my eyes rolling there?
That's good.
Don't hate the play. I hate the game.
That's right. More illuminated topiaries, which I can't wait to see. They started doing that last year.
I do agree with that. That was really fun to see. And it was such a different, like when you walked around at night, it was such a different view of all of the different topiaries you saw during the day because of the lights in them.
Yeah. Here's an interesting move. They renamed the Flower Power Concert Series to the Garden Rocks Concert Series.
Yeah.
Thought that was interesting.
And they need to find some new people to play.
Maybe that's it. No, yeah, because it was all 70s type.
Yeah, it was all
60s, 70s.
Yeah, I think not that it was terrible. A decade or two.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, not that the concert for the not that the Flower Power Series concert was bad, but it certainly wasn't on par with what you get for the Food and Wine.
Yeah, Eat to the Beat.
Yeah, the Eat to the Beat. Eat to the Beat definitely had a better lineup of musicians.
So this is a little evolved, right? Little River Band, Pablo Cruz, the Gin Blossoms.
Yeah, that's probably
that's not bad.
Had last year, yeah.
Village People.
What about Air Supply?
That's when I will be there. Air Supply. No, they're the fall concert. They're not there.
All right. Well, I'm not going back to fall then.
Well, I keep thinking I see. Isn't Starship? Don't they make both appearances? Somebody from Starship.
Mickey Thomas definitely does the Eat to the Beat.
Right. I remember seeing somebody doubling up.
All I know is I miss Davy Jones.
Yeah, you're right. I agree. I did get to see that once, and it was good, and I'm glad I did.
I saw the Monkees in concert in Cincinnati.
Hey, we're the Monkees.
Wow.
I love it. I was a huge Monkees fan, 30 years too late? Still.
The Monkey. I used to watch the reruns of the show when it came on television.
So
when I was
good.
Starship is still in the list. So is the orchestra starring former members of ELO. You gotta love that. The guest who Taylor Dane's a new one.
That's not bad, Taylor Dane.
It's not bad. And Hermits finishes off.
Talking about those 50s bands and stuff, here's a little bit of Disney trivia. Did you know the Beatles officially broke up in Walt Disney World?
I did know that.
I learned it just this year. I saw it somewhere. Yes.
Yeah, John Lennon actually signed he was, I think, at the Polynesian.
At the Poly, that's correct.
And he in his room, he signed the papers dismembering the band.
Then he went on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right. He went and did the pirate adventure that we have on our YouTube.
Hey, did you see that? Ed is awesome. YouTube.com/DisneyNerdsPodcast, video number 7. Ed takes us on a trip through the pirate adventure.
Starring Ed Mazzilli.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, so I'm not going to comment.
That's great.
It's a lot of fun. And actually, I watched it today, so it's a lot of fun. Actually, all three of us are in it. Jennifer's the only one not in the video.
Well, I still have video that Jennifer is in. It's just a matter of getting time to edit
all right.
that video.
Let's get some Jennifer on YouTube.
Take your time.
You have a week and a half before the next trip you guys get together. So.
So typically that's what lights the fire under my butt to get some of that stuff done.
Because you're going to add to your backlog?
Right. You have seen that. Right. Because, and then what will happen is, you know, very quickly, you'll see a couple of more Star Wars Weekends videos hit Sam's Disney Diary because I'll be planning going back to Star Wars Weekend thinking, I never did my video at the dinner that I had inside the sci-fi with Greedo and Darth Vader. That was awesome.
Well, if you really want to see our YouTube views or whatever they count as go up, if you get Jennifer on there, I'm telling you,
through the
roof.
We'll do it.
Yes, because it'll go viral for all the wrong reasons.
whatever. Bad press, good press, it's all press.
That's right.
What we're going to do now is we're going to go through some of those emails I was talking about earlier and try to answer some of them if we can. What's really cool about these is some of the people that sent them gave us their original Disney nerdiness.
Oh, yeah.
If you listen to some of those interviews that we do, one of the questions we love to ask the people come on our show is, where did they become a Disney nerd? Or how did they become a Disney nerd? And some of these talk about that, so it is really nice. The first one I'm going to read is from Mike Pizzo, and Mike doesn't tell us where he's from, but here we go. Hello, fellow nerds. My name is Mike, and I'm relatively new to listening to your show. Well, welcome on, Mike. I started around show number 45 and do my best to listen to it weekly. I first was brought to Disney when I was 2, but I didn't really become the nerd I am today until I was about 23. My girlfriend, who is just as big of a Disney nerd as I am, and I will be going down to Walt Disney World for my 25th birthday in about 3 weeks. Oh, excellent. Well, happy birthday, nice. Mike.
Is he going to, do you know when we get that email? Is he going to be there?
We actually got this February 1st, so I think he's going to be kind of around the time you're down there, 21st.
Mike, 22nd, man, if you're there, come out and meet up with us for the meet.
Awesome. The reason why I'm such a big Disney nerd is because there is always a reason as to what we see on stage. Nothing is placed in the parks just because. From the placement of the trash cans to the name addresses on the wooden crates in Hollywood Studios, are there any obscure Easter eggs in the parks that normal visitors don't even notice? My girlfriend and I will be doing the Backstage Magic Tour this trip, and we're both excited to learn some of the little details. We have a little bit more to read, but let's actually start with that right away. So Mike's asking, are there any obscure Easter eggs in the parks that the normal visitors don't even notice?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Incredible. Our last trip down, I was touring through Hollywood Studios a little bit, and I started walking down Sunset Boulevard and noticed in front of the villain store, there was a bunch of suitcases on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Green suitcases by one of the light posts. And for kicks and giggles, I took a picture of them. Took a picture of the label on it because it actually had a person's name on it. I did a blog post about this and researched it, and it ended up being the boyfriend to the starlet on the Tower of Terror elevator that ended up crashing on that day way back when.
It was his luggage,
and it actually had a phone number on it that was, I think it was 1031-6. So that's October 31st, Halloween. I didn't figure out what the dash six meant.
Very cool.
That's
Sunset
cool.
Boulevard is exactly where I was going to go. It is full of hidden treasures. And I got to take a tour on our last trip. And one of my favorite things, there's tons of cool things that are inspired by old Hollywood and lots of those references like Ed's mentioning where one little hidden gem ties into another one if you can find it. But one of the ones I remember, several places throughout Sunset Boulevard, if you look down, there are these little, I guess they look kind of like survey markers or something. It's like a stamp in the concrete. And it talks about who made basically the construction company that worked on Sunset Boulevard. And it's a tribute to Mortimer Mouse. It's like the Mortimer Construction Company or something similar. So those are actually throughout the whole street, which is really cool. And something I mean, I've spent a lot of time there and I've never looked at the pavement, I guess, which we should learn to do because we know in all the parks there's stuff everywhere, up and down and anywhere you can look. So that was pretty cool.
When you were reading the email, the first thing that came to my mind was the Muppets. Muppets 3D. I mean,
The pre-show area.
The pre-show area when you first walk in, you know, there's a sign hanging in the little ticket window that said going to lunch, there's the key under the mat. And if you look under the mat, there's actually a key. Glued to the floor.
You know, it's only there half the time we've seen.
Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. So I guess that keeps people looking. A net full of Jello.
Yes.
Sure.
That's a great one.
Another good thing in that pre-show room is to check out all the clapper boards. You know, the things they start movie scenes with?
Yeah.
All around the outsides of the room. They all say really funny, funny sayings on them.
As does the luggage.
Yeah, the luggage and the... Yeah.
Or like the shipping crates.
The crates, right.
Yeah.
2D fruities. Love it.
Yes.
Another thing comes to mind is Tower of Terror. Now, that's another one that's there sometimes, is the little board. When you're going, when you first get in the building and they tell you to go right or left, there's one of those little boards that the little white letters go on that tells you each floor.
Right, right. The announcement board.
The announcement board that tells you, it says on a Tip Top Club and tells you what floor it's on. So if you look, sometimes if you look in there and look down at the bottom, there'll be some letters that have fallen off the board. And a lot of times when you look, it says, it spells out Evil Tower. You are doomed.
Cool.
There are so many details all over that park, all over the resorts, all over everything there.
Yeah.
That's why we keep going back. That's what makes us all nervous.
Even
the resorts have things. The restaurants have things.
I was going to say at the resort, we were at Pop two trips ago, or last year. And we were in the 90s section, which has a big cell phone as the icon.
It's like the flip phone you carry there, Jimmy.
I still have a StarTAC, actually. But it's got a phone number on it. So my kids dialed the phone number, and it rings to the front desk.
That's cool.
That's so cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
Did not know that.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Awesome.
They're ready to prank somebody.
Oh, yeah.
They get the front desk.
Okay, well, Mike continues. Also, I know I'm a week late, but I was surprised to find out you guys didn't mention a transportation wizard at ourlaughingplace.com. during show number 67. This tool has been incredibly helpful on all of our trips. It helps us plan out days and anticipate travel times. And what Mike's referring to is a tool you can actually go to the website for at our laughingplace.com, and you can enter where you're going from to where you're going to and hit the enter button, and it comes back with a lot of different choices of how to get to different places. And we all knew about it. I just wasn't sure how up to date it was with all the different changes that have been going on in the last year or two. But definitely is a good place to check out, Mike. Have you guys ever checked that one out?
No, I wasn't aware of it.
I used to use that all the time in the past. The thing that it used to do, and again, as Ed said, I'm not sure if it still works like this, it used to give you all kinds of options. And sometimes they were ridiculous, like, this one will take you 2.5 hours because you go like from this bus to this boat. I mean, they're absurd. But I think
I think it's just like a
computer program that plugs in literally all the options. And so you have maybe your fastest, but if that's down, you have other options. Or if you want to take the boat because it sounds relaxing, you can look at that option. So if that's still working and up to date, that's a really cool tool.
I try to use it as a backup when I plan to do something odd, like the last trip we went from one hotel to another hotel, perhaps, or something like that.
There was a picture recently on social media. I think it was from the Contemporary, but it showed the wait times for the buses. It's digital screens that were installed that tie back to the Disney transportation system that basically said the Magic Kingdom bus will be here at 12:08, nice. The Hollywood Studios bus will be here at 12:15.
That's so great.
It may have been one of the moderates, but that's going to be great.
They had that at the Animal Kingdom Lodge quite a while ago, and we were so excited because we thought it must be everywhere. You know, that was the only hotel we were staying at, and we just thought, this is a new addition since the last time we came, and we were so excited, and it's never been anywhere else. So it needs to be everywhere because it changes my opinion on Disney transportation, because the biggest problem I have with it is exactly that. I don't know when something's coming. I don't know if I've just missed it. My kids have to go to the bathroom, but I don't know if we should take them now or if the bus is going to come in 1 minute or 20.
Absolutely.
It changes everything because it gives people who like to be in control a little bit more control.
I guess it was accurate.
20 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very close. It updated. At least it updated. So it might change while you're sitting there. So it was very accurate.
Right. And actually, yeah, you're right. If I see it updating, that means to me someone's paying attention to it.
Yeah. Or it's just automatic. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, Mike finishes up. Anyway, I really love the show and wish all of you the best. I'd love for you guys to do another show like when you spoke about the story behind Illuminations. There's a nod for Sam.
Disney I'm always, details. I got to do another one. Yes.
I'm also fascinated by the creative ways Disney tells its stories. Thanks for taking the time. thanks for taking the time to read this. Here's to a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Thanks for the email, Mike.
Mike is my kind of nerd. I love it.
That's a great email.
Thank you for sharing all those things. That makes me smile.
I don't know whose email is next, but Mike set the bar pretty high.
I know.
Love it.
Okay. Well, our next email comes from Mary Ann from Farmington, New York. And Marianne says, I have a question. Do you know if they will ever open up Cinderella's Castle to the public again where you can walk through it? I'm a Disney nerd because I think about Disney all the time. I was born in Jacksonville, and ever since I was a baby, I've been going down there, and I'm now 34. My kids love Disney, and a lot of my house is decorated in Disney things. Join the crew on that one. It's just so nice being down there where you can just be a kid and forget about the stress in your normal life. Marianne. Okay, well, so Marianne's question was about the Cinderella Castle. Will it be open to the public again where you can walk through it? Has that stopped?
I'd want to know, I guess, is she talking about just the, the passage underneath where there's the mural? I would imagine as far as I know, that's only closed during the stage shows. Because that's right. Also where you get to the Bibbidi-Bobbidi Boutique and Cinderella's Royal Table. Now, Has it ever had a walkthrough like Sleeping Beauty's castle, where you actually do walk through the attraction much more? Has that ever happened at Disney World? Not that I'm aware of.
I've never seen it.
Only if you're going up to Cinderella's Royal Table. I don't think you can walk through where they're ever, not to my knowledge. Okay. But like there you were. Said, in California, you walk through the castle. It's a tour. It tells the story
it's
of Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, it's awesome. Very cool.
They do refurbishments and stuff all the time. So maybe the last time she was there, it was just closed off.
Well, it's definitely closed now that, and I guess now, it's been at least since the 50th anniversary, maybe prior to that. Now that there are consistent stage shows throughout the day, it's closed on and off a lot of times. I mean, that's definitely true. Many, many times when you try to go through it, and it's not even just like a cast member, it's walled off. So I guess my suggestion would be just to check back. It might be closed when you walk by, but it might truly just be while there's a show going on.
Sure.
And I love Marianne's email too. I love these, all of these coming in that are digging into why they're Disney nerds, because it just, it makes me feel like we found our people.
Yep, definitely.
Oh, definitely. Okay, well, thanks again, Marianne. Well, let's continue on. We have another email from Brett from Marrero, Louisiana. And Brett's actually been listening to the show for a long time, so it's really good to hear from you again, Brett. Hello, my Disney nerds. Ready for the food gauntlet? I'm getting ready for the special 180-day mark, because we all know that that day marks food ADRs. We're going on the dining plan, so here is what I'm thinking so far. Arrive day the wave. Day one, Epcot, Lotus Blossom, and Via Napoli. Can't argue with that.
Slow down. Say those again.
What's Lotus Blossom?
The Blossom base. China counter service.
Counter service in China. Okay. My kids have to do it every trip. They love it.
I tried it the first time last year. It was pretty good.
Yes, and I do have to say, we enjoy it a lot, but Nicholas should not have gotten that in place of the Farm Fresh booth. I still judge him on that.
That's my kids. I can't going to go there. That's what they do. And you know what? I say go right ahead, because I'm going to get two beers on the way, and I'll see you there.
Nice.
Cool. Day two for Brett is the Magic Kingdom, and Pecos Bill's sounds like lunch, and Tony's for dinner. Never ate at Tony's. Pecos Bill's, can't argue with that.
Tony's gets a bad rap. I don't mind it.
Okay.
I don't either.
And that's coming
like
from
it's
an Italian, so.
It's by no means the best Italian in Disney World.
Okay.
Let's get that out there. But it gets a really bad rap.
Yeah, I've never been there, but I've heard nothing but really negative things about
it. Yeah, I feel like it's definitely painted in a very poor light. I think it's decent Italian food. It's like your every chain Italian restaurant you have around you. So there's nothing really to write home about, but it's good, and
not
the
bad,
atmosphere is so much fun that it's definitely
awesome.
Worth doing. So far, I've got no arguments with these picks. Great choices.
Yeah, keep going. Awesome.
Okay. Day three is the Hollywood Studios, and it's going to be Fairfax for lunch and the Brown Derby for dinner.
Nice.
Nice way to finish
up.
Never been to Brown Derby.
Me neither. Only the outdoor lounge thing.
Yeah.
It's exactly like you expect it to be. Menu is pretty incredible.
How do you get the Cobb salad?
It's exactly what I had when I ate there.
Yeah.
And that's what it's famous for, right?
Yep.
Sure. And the Fairfax, isn't that like the Fairfax fries or down on Sunset?
Yep.
Cool.
There's a whole bunch to that. You know, the last time I really looked back and thought about it, to me, I always give a bad rap to Sunny Eclipse over in Magic Kingdom.
Boo,
what
I
is
love
that?
That place.
Me too.
Well, I don't like it because there's different food in different bays. And
yeah,
my kids always
okay.
want something different,
yes.
and I'm in four
it
bays.
It is not convenient.
That's
I
annoying.
Agree.
Yes.
If you want different things,
Fairfax Fair is kind of the same. Because up in front, they have chicken nuggets in one counter. The next counter over, they have hamburgers. And there's different counters with different things.
Got it.
And you don't notice that at first when you're there. But then you're like, wait a minute. They got this. They got that. But it doesn't get the bad rap. But it's good.
Oh, well, good that's stuff. Definitely a good hint, though. I never noticed that over there. I tell you what, though. Before we get off of Cosmic Rays, which is actually day four of Magic Kingdom, he is going to Cosmic Rays and then over to the Polynesian at Ohana. Cosmic Rays still has, in my opinion, the best counter service value that if you're on a dining plan or even not, that it's worth getting. They have that half chicken and rib combo that you get with, I think, one or two vegetables. And it is an incredible amount of food for, I think, $14 was the last time I saw it.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what it's up to now.
Green beans and mashed potatoes, and they're delicious, and it's a huge portion. Yeah, there it's an excellent choice, even to share, and then you can, you know, try other things, and great, mm-hmm. great value. And Sunny Eclipse is singing, which I just love.
Yeah, if you can get a seat in that room where he's at, it's pretty awesome.
Great. And they're going to Ohana's, and Ohana's is family food, family dining, and it's incredible.
Ohana is by far my this trip we're going on. I may have mentioned it in the previous show, but this trip we're going on in 2 weeks. It's me and my wife's 15th anniversary, and when we talked about where we wanted to eat, it was no question. I mean, the kids are coming with us too, so the kids will be there, but no questions asked. It was Ohana.
Love Ohana.
Cool. Day 5, he's going to Epcot and Les Celiers, and then Sunshine Seasons.
Can't argue with either one of those at all.
Yep.
Good vacation.
And he mentions them in that order, so I'm wondering if Les Celiers is going to be the lunch because of the reservation, but
probably because it's only one table service credit.
For the lunch.
That's actually the smart play for Les Celiers, because if you're going to do it for lunch where it's only one table service credit.
Good. That's a really great tip. And then day 6, they're going to be at Animal Kingdom and Not So Scary.
Ooh.
So it's going to be the Tusker House and the Columbia Harbor House.
I've never been to Tusker House.
It'd
be tough for me to pass up Yak and Yeti if I only had one reservation at Animal Kingdom.
Table service. Really?
Table service.
Ah, see, I had a bad experience there and we haven't been back. I mean, not bad. It wasn't great.
I think, oh my God.
And Tusker House is
some
good stuff.
Tusker House is probably still Kyle's favorite sit down restaurant, like as a family, and the food, oh my gosh, it is so good. We love Tusker House.
I've never tried it.
So good.
We've been stuck on every time we go and we have dining plan, it's always been Yak and Yeti.
We'll have to give it another try. We were not, like I said, we ate there one time and it just wasn't worth going back to. So we will have to change that. It's been a while.
Is the Tusker House a buffet?
Yes.
Like, okay.
It's characters for breakfast, and is that the only time it's characters?
It is, although I vaguely remember seeing, I don't know if it was rumor or a future announcement that characters are coming to lunch and or dinner, which made me very sad. But I can't speak to whether that's, and I love character meals, but that's not the way it's been. And I love the current setup and the atmosphere there. It's not chaotic. It's quiet and it's just nice. It's a wonderful restaurant. So characters would make it a different kind of wonderful. And I don't know. I'm interested to see exactly if that pans out. So, but currently, yeah, breakfast only.
So you mentioned, Ed, that earlier that Brett is one of our original listeners. he lives locally close to me. He booked his trip through my travel agency, Once Upon a Time Travel. And one of the other things is the dates he's gone, which is somewhere around September 26th through October 3rd. I don't want to give too much away, but there may be some Disney nerds there during that time.
One trip at a time, Jimmy. One trip at
a time. I know. I'm just saying.
Like, yeah.
I'm just like, you know
I
what?
Can't even
it could get it there. Could be possible that maybe there'd be a little meat or something going on.
So, hey, speaking of dining in Animal Kingdom, did you guys see that Flame Tree Barbecue was closed for quite a few months there?
I did, and I don't know why.
I heard it closed, but I didn't know it was like for an extended time. I thought
it's down till March 31st. But here's the interesting part and why I bring it up back to, you know, construction in the parks and what's happening. Flame Tree Barbecue is pretty big. If you guys have been in there, there's lots of seating and typically lots of places to duck into. And that's actually a hiding place we used to head to with the babies, a few years ago.
And just so if you haven't been to the Flame Tree, all these different areas are outside. They're different terraces that do have a roof to it, but no walls. And there's probably about a dozen different areas that different levels, and they step down to where the water is. So it's a real extensive area.
And that's, correct me if I'm wrong, Flame Tree is going to back up towards where Avatar Land will be, right? So the back of Flame Tree, as you come in, it's on the left. And the question is, are they doing something to expand it or prepare it to double as a counter service in Avatar Land on the other side? That's the thought, anyway.
Maybe, perhaps. Yeah.
perhaps. The other thing you have to keep in mind, they're going to be making viewing areas for whenever they start lighting the tree up at night.
That's right, yeah.
So that's a nice restaurant. I'm not sure how good the viewing is of the tree right from down there, but...
It's good call.
Yeah.
Lots happening in Animal Kingdom. We don't talk about it a lot. I know it's Jen and Jimmy's favorites, and there's a lot happening. We got another show on that later.
Definitely, definitely. Brett finishes up about himself a little bit. A quick little about me. I've not been a Disney nerd for long. My Disney obsession started in 2012 with our first family trip that ends with my leaving with my mom 2 weeks in the hospital. Sorry about that. Before that, I've only been to Walt Disney World once in 91 when I was 8. But in 2012, I felt like I missed so much and started preparing for the next trip, learning history and details from the parks, and then I was hooked. We went back the past Mardi Gras, stayed at Riverside, and because of your love of Bob, I went and saw him over and over 3 days. Now our third trip is booked, and of course, Once Upon a Time Travel for the end of September. We're looking forward to see the parks decorated. Yay. Hope to see you guys out there one day in the world.
Awesome.
Brett. Excellent email, Brett. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brett. We appreciate it.
Okay, I think we have time for one more tonight. This email comes from Jill. And Jill says, "Hi, Disney nerds. I'm Jill and a bona fide Disney nerd. I've been going to Walt Disney World since I was 2 years old, and I'll be 30 in April. What qualifies me as a Disney nerd? Well, I could go on and on about that, but I think what best sums it up is this. I smoked for 10 years. My husband then hated the habit and asked what it would take me to quit. I told him, take me to Disney. So last February, after I had quit for 6 months, he took me to Walt Disney World for a week to celebrate. Mickey sent me a congratulations gift to my room. My question. We're expecting our first child due in May. Congratulations, guys. My husband insists we wait to go back to Walt Disney World until our son is old enough to remember it. I do not want to wait that long. Any hints, tips, or pieces of advice for traveling to Walt Disney World with an infant or a young toddler?" Now, I read that question, and then I thought of you, Jen.
I know
we've all had the experience of it, but yeah. I think you kind of pushed the issue with that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, I love that story. I love hearing, people just take Disney World and Disney parks as another theme park, but I love hearing the motivation and, you know, changing habits. Congratulations on that and the new baby. Yes, my kids have all gone at least once before they were one, and I people look at us like we're crazy. And of course they will not remember it. They have trips, you know, that we look at pictures and they have no idea they went. But to see them explore what they're doing is so cool. So if you do get a chance to take them, if you're going once, I would say wait a little while. But if you plan on going more than once in your life again, then there's never a bad time to take them. So with that said, my biggest tip, and this is for anyone with kids of pretty much, you know, any age into like elementary school, find the baby care centers in every park. They are a godsend, not just when you actually have to care for your child. They do have nursing rooms and big full-size changing tables that are not made of plastic and all of those things that you would need, even a little store that sells very reasonably priced baby supplies if you've forgotten something. But our favorite thing about them, besides the fact that they're air-conditioned, is they all have these little playrooms with cartoons and coloring and toys, and it's just such a wonderful place to get a change of scenery for little ones. And whether you take a baby or a toddler, a preschooler, they're going to need a change of scenery. Even though they're having a great time, it's a great place to come and be less stimulated and cool off, and it's great. They're in every park, and you'll definitely want those. We also have, you'll always hear the advice to build in naps, to go back to your resort, to take a nap, to let your child take a nap, and certainly I think that's important. We found, though, we had every intention of doing that and found that our two older kids actually napped better in the stroller in the parks rather than going back to the hotel, because at that point the change of scenery kept them awake. So we would have them nap in the park, but even if that happens, we still went back to the resort for some downtime because, again, and this is obviously a theme, if you want to enjoy your time, you can't drag the little ones from open to close or you'll have them kicking and screaming at the end. And that's why people don't like Disney vacations, because they did it that way. So that would be my biggest piece of advice, is just take it slow. Go where they want to go. One of our favorite memories is of our 18-month-old twins just playing in a fountain at Epcot in their clothes. We had no intention of them doing it. They didn't have anything really to play in. We spent like 45 minutes there, maybe, you know, wasted park touring time. But it was one of our favorite memories, and why we keep going back for those little things. So definitely awesome. Slow down and go as soon as you can.
Oh, yeah. It's the magical time every morning in the park around 11, 11:30, where you start hearing all the kids start to cry.
Exactly.
Because they've been up since 7, they're getting hungry, and it's starting to get really hot.
Your kids sleep till 7? No, I'm kidding. They do now, probably, right? Yeah.
I couldn't agree with what you said anymore, though. I mean, people ask me all the time about taking young kids. I said, I think it's fine. It's just you have to understand that it's a different type of trip, and you have to go by their schedule.
Right.
You can't force them into your schedule.
Those baby care centers are absolutely a godsend.
Yeah.
I mean, where else, and this is from experience, where else can you find a jar of banana baby food when you have to have it because there's a meltdown? They have that in the baby care centers.
And it's not, we left, we were in Disneyland, and I think they look exactly the same as the ones in Disney World, so I imagine purchasing something there would be similar. We left a pacifier in the hotel or something, wherever it was. My son, who would not sleep without one when he was really little, we didn't have one. And we went there to see if they had one, and it was like $4 or $5 for a two-pack. It was pretty much Target prices or better. I mean, it was shocking to us. So we bought it without hesitation. I expected it to be, you know, $27 for a jar of baby food.
But oh, sure.
It's not. They really are just for everything that the company does to make money, because that's what their, you know, bottom line is all about. That baby care center, I think, is really just about caring for families. So,
wow, you know, I never knew how extensive those places were. Through our kids, we suffered through the diaper changes in the bathrooms, or the cart itself, and the food we dragged in. And how about that?
They're
learn
really
something
cool.
New every day.
Yeah,
I gotta save that for the grandkids.
That's right.
There you go.
Many years from now.
Right.
Right.
Well, anyway, very cool question, Jill. Thank you very much for asking that.
So, Ed, I have a question that came to me that I will pose to the nerds here. And this is from a friend of mine in Cleveland, Ohio, who basically told me, hey, I decided to take a weekend. We're flying down to Disney. We're flying down to Orlando. We have some family to visit, and we have one day to spend in Walt Disney World. There are three of us, my wife and I, and a four-year-old. We did the same thing last year. We spent the day at the Magic Kingdom and loved it. My question is, what should we do this year? Two adults and a four-year-old. So it was three last year and loved Magic Kingdom.
Gosh, that's such a hard question. Yeah.
With a four-year-old, I think you got to go back to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
I think that's the only answer.
See, I hesitated because there's so many wonderful things to see at the other parks, even for a four-year-old. Yeah. But you're right. One day, that is the most
the
bang for your kids.
But,
and, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Right. And there is not enough for a four-year-old in any of the parks but the Magic Kingdom.
And we started walking through Epcot. Okay, you have Nemo, you have Figment, you know, Test Track maybe not tall enough. And it really came down to, yeah, I think Magic Kingdom is – for that, those wonderful time that you had last year with the three-year-old, the only way you're going to top it is to have that same wonderful time in the Magic Kingdom.
That's right.
And
if you go anywhere else, it's not going to live up to it.
And with the second trip to the Magic Kingdom, your kids are already familiar with it, so it's going to be even that much better of a trip. You won't have to go through that whole new discovery as far as figuring out where you're going, and you'll be able to get to things much faster and have fun.
Yeah. I agree.
Now, all of that said, I had one other thought, and this comes out of that same Disney Reward magazine that came out today, and this ties into something that we talked about when we talked about Food and Wine Festival. Remember that ultimate day at Epcot's Food and Wine Festival?
Mm-hmm.
They now have an ultimate day for young families VIP tour. Okay? Here's what basically it is. You start out at the Magic Kingdom. You get to go VIP style to Aladdin Magic Carpets, It's a Small World, Peter Pan, Little Mermaid, Dumbo, Barnstormer, Buzz Lightyear. Pretty cool. Things little kids like. Then VIP shuttle over to Whispering Canyon for lunch. Pretty cool. Then VIP shuttle to Hollywood Studios for Disney Junior Live on Stage and Toy Story Mania. Then a shuttle over to Animal Kingdom for VIP seats for the Festival of the Lion King and an up-close Kilimanjaro Safari. All in one package in one day. It lasts 7 hours. And if you want to knock out as much as you can, as quick as you can, wow, that could get.
What does that cost?
So here's the cost. You're like that ultimate date, aren't you? No, it's actually, here I thought, wow, that's not that bad. It's $2.99 a person.
Do you have to have your own ticket for the park?
Yes, Ed, and that's exactly what I thought. $2.99 is bad, but you have to have admission to it.
Right, with a $100 Magic Kingdom ticket and adding park hoppers, $2.99 would be
a
bargain, but yeah, there's no way.
And actually, we have to actually amend the way we say that now with $105 Magic Kingdom ticket.
Starting, in a couple weeks?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if anybody wants to go in February and have me tour you around, I'll do it for Louis less than $2.99.
Get me in every FastPass line. I'll...
Yeah, no, that's a tough one.
Kids. Here's another one I want to tell you guys about. It's the ultimate day for a thrill seeker. So same experience, same cost, except now at Magic Kingdom, you're doing Big Thunder, Splash Mountain, Space Mountain, Haunted Mansion, and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. You're doing the same lunch at Whispering Canyon. Then you go to Studios for Toy Story Mania, Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, and Star Tours. Then you head over to Animal Kingdom for Dinosaur and Everest.
Does it say
a little different in experience?
I mean, that's fantastic if you've got Sam Marasini money.
Yeah, I'm not.
Does it say if this is private tours or if it's a group tour? Like you're just going to show up like the other tours with other people?
I think
If you head, I'm at Disney's VIP tour experience. So if you just VIP tour service is what it's called. There's also, by the way, a 15% discount if you use your Chase Visa card, which is why it's in the Chase catalog. So that makes it a little bit better. It says tours are only certain days, and it does not say that it's private, but there are private tours that range from $360 to $500 an hour. So this is not a private tour. That's an hour, yes.
Nice.
It's flexible. So basically, you tell them what you want to do, and for $500 an hour, you can do it.
And I think that's actually groups up to like 8 or 10.
There you go.
It's $500.
I've never done any of these.
I've never done it either by any means. But
if you have a group of eight doing a $350 an hour tour, you break that up, you could probably go 2 hours and get some pretty incredible looks at something.
If your group of eight isn't one family who's paying with one card. Right?
Of course. Yes. Okay, cool.
And the ultimate day of food and wine is still out there too. But it's something interesting. And I did suggest that. He sort of looked at me sideways. But if you're going to be there for one day in a year and you want to get the most out of it, that's how to do it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm sure.
All right, well, fantastic, guys. That was a lot of fun. Remember, if you have a question you would like us to answer on the air, please send us an email. The new email address is questions@thedisneynerds.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Search the Disney Nerds Podcast. Disney Nerds group on Facebook and at the Disney Nerds on Twitter.
Thanks a lot for that, Jimmy. And thanks to our listeners. That's it for show number 71. Send your emails in and we'll talk to you later. Good night, everyone.
Go ahead.
See ya.
If you would like to join a jamming a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace.